in to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 253 of the Self-Help Podcast, where myself and my pal Sean Orford are tackling the really simple question today, aren't we?
The meaning of life.
What is the meaning of life? Yeah, we've had an email, a listener email in asking us to discuss that, so a nice meaty one to get stuck into. You alright, Sean? How's tricks?
I'm good, good. I'm on the 7-minute workout programme.
7-minute workout?
Yeah, I was reading some stuff online. And there's an
be careful when you're doing that, man. It's a dangerous world out there online.
Yeah.
But go on, sorry.
So there's an app called 7M.
7-minute workout.
7-minute workout.
Okay.
And I've been through it a couple of times.
I'm is this a physical workout? This.
Yeah, yeah.
Star jumps and stuff like that.
Yeah, and he reckons that in the 7 minutes you can do more than you can do in a gym workout. So I'm going to try it, see how it goes.
7 minutes a day?
Yep.
So what kind of stuff is it? What kind of exercises?
A lot of it is spine loosening, then it's spine strengthening. There's kind of plank work and side planks and half planks and push-ups.
So you don't need any special equipment or anything?
No, a chair. That's what you need.
We have chairs.
Yeah.
Most people have chairs lying around.
So you can do that.
All right.
With a chair, yeah.
Okay, cool.
So next week I should come and kick sand in your face because I'm going to be really tough.
Yeah, are you going to do before and after? I love those personal trainer before and after photos where the before is really bad lighting and they look really upset and unhappy, hunched over.
Yeah.
And then 7 weeks later,
ta-da!
They're standing upright and the lights are nice and bright.
And the airbrushing's been really good. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Keep us posted on that. All busy here for me, but enjoying life. I have found meaning, I think, in my current...
As long as it is fun.
I go through little obsessions with things where I'm all or nothing on interests, whether it's like science and space or gaming or virtual reality, or currently I'm all about cycling and getting clean air and environmental quests and stuff like that. We'll come on to all that, how I found meaning, because... it can be different for each and every one of us. I should have mentioned early on, liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website for all the show notes, links from this episode. All previous episodes are on there too. Sean's written a blog post, as he always does, to accompany this, and sign up for email alerts, and you will also get some free meditation files and some other bits and bobs that we'll send once you sign up. So, the meaning of life, what is it, Sean?
We don't know.
Ah, but we can have fun discussing it though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I have literally been all over the world talking to the great and good, trying to find out the meaning of life. And each group, sect, religion, guru that I came across had their meaning of life, which they said was the meaning of life. They would have their book of words, which told their story. But it was sold on the basis that this is the way, this is the meaning of life, and if you don't come this way, then it's hell and damnation for you, boy.
Which, is that alarm bells ringing?
Yeah, as soon as I heard that, I thought, thank you very much.
So
off you go, because that can't be the meaning of life.
And that includes even our Live in the Present book, which I don't think it... I think it does... Well, it does have a disclaimer at the start, which I think is unique to self-help books, which kind of says this might not work, you know, if you don't put the work in, if you don't explore these ideas properly.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if Paul McKenna's books have that written at the start. I
don't know. We need to check them out.
Yeah, but they should do.
Yeah.
Because meaning is different for each and every one of us, isn't it?
And the things that may work for me may be a total anathema to you.
Yeah.
Really?
But is the fun and the meaning of life, in life, sorry, that working out? But even if you did have the answer, like right now, is it the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy say that the answer is 42?
42, yeah.
Is the important bit the working out that gets to that number?
Yeah, and it's like the thing about happiness is not a destination, it's a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And meaningfulness, the meaning of life, is if you got to the end of that journey, then maybe there would be no life.
Yeah.
You know?
Are there few of philosophers around these days that in days gone by, I'm thinking like Aristotle and Plato and Socrates and all that, philosophers were given this really weighty role in society, and everyone looked to them for answers and for questions as well.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people I follow online, like Alain de Botton, who he presents himself as a philosopher and a writer. We don't tend to have that many, though. I wasn't thinking, if I was Prime Minister, like, of this great nation, I would immediately install as one of the most important jobs my chief philosopher. Because it's just, I don't think Theresa May or recent Prime Ministers have had a philosopher to help out answer these big questions.
I think that the role of philosopher these days is taken more by the quantum physicist.
Science has taken over.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're trying to find the scientific answers and reasons for life, which may or may not be real. You know, which is what I mean about what you start to realise when you talk to individual people is that the meaning of life is the meaning that I give it. And when I have no meaning for life, then usually I have no life, and that's when you start talking about suicide or suicidal ideation. Because when you get to what's the point? Because there is no meaning. Yeah.
Do you think we care less now than we used to about the meaning, about finding the meaning of life? Or do you think more than ever?
I think it's the other way around. I think that in previous generations, because we had throughout the Piscean era this idea about religions, gurus, teachers, and books, like, you know, Bibles, Quran, the Torah, all kinds of books that give you the Book of Words. So I think that people's questioning was limited. People's exploration was limited. And if you explored outside of the faith, you were a heretic, weren't you?
Yeah.
And so, like, Inquisition, burnings, all that kind of stuff.
Or even, telling people that the Earth, well, the sun doesn't revolve around the Earth, it's vice versa. These scientific principles and facts.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there still are flat earthers out there, quite a growing community, online community of people that think the Earth is flat. I don't necessarily want them hung, drawn, and quartered for thinking that, but, well, I'll point and laugh a little bit.
Maybe we should take them all up in a plane, up high enough, you know, in a little rocket, so they can look back and see it.
Maybe we should. I'm sure they would have a clever answer for why the horizon is slightly curved, even if you took them into space, deep space, and look back. They'd probably have some clever answer for that as well. Let's not go into the flat earthers, man. We are becoming less religious in the West, at least, as societies. Yep. People aren't going to church as much anymore.
Yep.
Partly because maybe science has kind of given us answers.
But interestingly, within that, Buddhism is the fastest growing religion on the planet.
So what's Buddhism got going for it?
I think it's less prescriptive. And because it's to do with... based around the silent arts of meditation. So you're starting to look inward. So mindfulness is seen as Buddhism with the Buddha taken out.
Mm-hmm.
Very often it's that kind of thing. So you're using those Buddhist techniques of inquiry, having an inquisitive mind, and observing and acknowledging and thinking, rather than being told. It's like if you're being told what you can see, then you have a limited perspective. Whereas if you can discover that for yourself, what you can see, then you might see something very different.
Yeah, well, my father-in-law is a church minister.
Yep.
So we have some interesting chats with him. And I've also got this little six-year-old lad who's become what is, always has been, very inquisitive about how things work and what's going on. And obviously we've just had Easter, so a bit of religious chit-chat going on there about what happened 2,000-odd years ago.
Yeah.
And then other things about, father was telling me about how Moses parted the sea once upon a time. So I can see Will like look at him like, what? How did you do that? I don't know, it's a tricky one to try and explain something like that to a six-year-old from my point of view, because I don't want to kind of upset my father-in-law for his views and perspectives on things, but I had quite a word about how, well, you know, no one was around back then. Stories have been passed down and down.
The story grows in the telling.
Yeah, but there are lessons to be learned from the stories, aren't there?
Yeah, and most stories are parables. And there's a story behind the story.
Mm.
So in the Eastern books, some of the Sufi books, Islamic books, you get a guy called Mullah, who's the cosmic joker, and then Muller tells stories, and the stories, each of which are a lesson, like little parables.
Yeah.
And if you look at lots of the Judeo-Christian stuff, it's all about stories, and those stories tell you, they've got pictures in, you know, the pictures in your head, and that you're learning the morality or the rightness or the wrongness by listening to the story.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Do you think we search desperately for the meaning because the reality that we're on this spinning ball of rock and that we're here just to reproduce and keep things ticking over that way is just too cold and stark to
bear? Well, I don't know that there are... there's a percentage of people who have an inquisitive mind that want to know, but the majority of people are either going to be couldn't care, you know, like life is about, you know, you're born, you reproduce, and then you die kind of stuff. There's going to be an amount of people, they're going to just take whatever spoon-fed to them, and they're going to believe whatever the latest thing is. And you'll hear people
like
saying, well, it must
workout.
Be true. I read it on Facebook. It must be true.
Yeah, like the 7-minute workout, eh?
Well, I will let you know about the 7-minute workout because we're going to do a practical test. We're going to reality test it, aren't we?
Yeah, we are indeed.
So if I come in here rippling in a couple of weeks' time with a six pack,
I'll be downloading that app and putting a chair in the middle there.
Yeah, and off you go. Yeah. Yeah.
So, have you found meaning, or what's your purpose, Sean?
And for me, this is the way I think that it probably works for most people in the end, is that the meaning of life for me is doing things that make you feel good.
Yeah.
If you do things that make you feel good, so you feel good about being alive, about who you are and about the people around you, then life has a meaning. And as soon as it becomes meaningless, that we're not connected with the good stuff around us, is when life goes into decline. That's when you get the suicidal dark bit.
Yeah, there are little indicators, aren't there? Little chemical reactions we have in our bodies to know whether you're on the right track, really, in terms of finding the meaning or your meaning.
What are you thinking of when you say that?
Well, yeah, like you just said, you know, if you're depressed and you're feeling like you don't want to wake up every morning, you don't want to jump out of bed, get to work, whatever work is, you're on the wrong path, aren't you, man?
Yeah.
Pretty straightforward.
So, yeah, so my thing would be that if you wake up in the morning and you don't want to get out of bed, something's wrong and you need to change it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if you don't attend to that and change it and get your life right, then the chances are you're going to compound in the what you feed grows, what you starve dies way. If you keep focusing on the negative, it gets bigger.
Mm-hmm.
It gets worse.
Yeah.
You know.
So you took the decision, whatever, 30, 40 odd years ago, that to help other people.
Well, I came to the conclusion when I was trying to work out what I was going to do with my life, and when the penny finally dropped, if I was doing things that made me feel good, then it wouldn't be like going to work. So I haven't been to work for years. I just get up and do what I do. And the two things that make me feel best, I suppose I've added a couple to those, but it started off being music and working with people.
Yep.
Playing music, working with people. I'd add into that now things like cooking, which I enjoy doing, and writing. You know, all those things make me feel good. So they're things that I focus on, the things that
yeah.
I do.
The byproduct of those things is that other people benefit from
yeah.
from the cooking. Yeah, I don't think... Have you poisoned anyone lately?
No, I don't think anyone's died. No one has died.
No deaths, okay.
Not yet. But for me, the day I got up this morning, 4 o'clock, started online in Qatar, and then went from there to an American factory. I've come from the American factory to see you to do some pods, and then from here I'll go and do a clinic, which will finish about 9 o'clock tonight. So I would have been working from 4 till 9. Now, that's like kind of a crazy day. I've done lots of different things, but at the end of it, it's good because I've enjoyed what
yeah,
I'm doing.
Yeah, you're self-employed, so there's no legal limit on how many hours you can or should be working, because
yeah.
you're quite, well, you're happy ploughing on and getting through it and sleeping soundly
it.
And then yeah. doing the same.
Do it again.
Rinse and repeat.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, so tomorrow I'll be in Qatar early in the morning, then I'll be in the hospital later in the afternoon doing stuff, running a course in the evening, mindfulness course.
Mm-hmm. So, I've got a bit of work to do there. I mean, I enjoy the work I do, the design stuff, but I don't necessarily think I want to be doing it 10 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
I think the side of it I enjoy is the working with people and helping them get things online and get businesses set up. The actual nitty-gritty of building the websites that I do mainly now, I don't know, man, I could take it or leave it a little bit. So I've got a bit of work to do in the coming years to shift things around a little bit.
I could see you doing things like this on a big scale.
Like what?
Podcasts, programs.
I do love recording this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good laugh. We get some nice little emails, don't we?
Yeah, yeah. But I could see you expanding those ideas.
Okay, but then the other side of my obsession is cycling and the environmental things that I'm obsessed with. So that's where I've kind of purposely created meaning, because I mean I've been riding for 18 months every day to and from work, and slowly but surely realised that more people would benefit from this, because it's obviously not just the environmental clean air side of things, but it's the physical activity, health side of things, and also just I like it's quite relaxing and meditative for me just to hop on a bike and get around. But then to encourage other people to do it, I've connected, and this idea of connection I think is quite important, because we all have ideas and interests and obsessions, and they're all completely varied. If everyone was focused on cycling, the world would be a terrible place, because so many other things would be neglected. But for me to kind of push things forward, I made these little connections with the local council, local authority, and I'm sitting on forums now where I can help and advise and give little tips on junctions that I think need updating and that are particularly dangerous, or have had close calls, and those little things have just kind of, they just fire off little bits of energy within me, because I feel like I'm making a difference, even if it's only a tiny little percentage of like the UK and how I'm making it better. But we're all working on different little things, aren't we?
One of the things from your clean travelling bit that I've got as far as, because the sun hasn't started yet, so I wasn't sure about getting a bike or whatever. And having spoken to the guys that moved in downstairs here.
Oh, yeah.
The electric guys.
Electric installation. Yeah. Electric charger guys.
They put me in touch with the guy locally who sells electric scooters. They look like old-fashioned Vespa kind of scooters. That will do... they appear to be able to do the range that I would need. They do about 30 miles an hour, which you could probably do it a little bit faster on some of the, like, going through the tunnel or stuff like that. But it works out at 0.3 of a mile.
0.3 of a penny
per mile. To, whereas you think of what it costs in terms of the fuel, but also the wear and tear on the vehicle. And if you're going to Liverpool, which would be through the tunnel, then you've got the tunnel costs either side.
Yep.
As you pay the tolls going through.
Mm-hmm.
The savings are phenomenal financially, and the savings environmentally seem phenomenal as well.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I've been getting a bit of a foot in the door with Mersey Travel as well, actually.
Mm-hmm.
They do all the local bus networks and underground train and the tunnel as well. They manage that.
Yep.
I remember emailing them a couple of years ago about how I thought electric vehicles should be allowed through the tunnel for free, because there's no kind of smog to clear out through the big extractor fans they have there, and it would encourage more people to do it, because it's quite a big saving. Bethan used to travel through the tunnel every day to work, and I think our direct debit was £150 a month, something like that,
for going through the tunnel.
Maybe a little bit less.
I pay £20 a month or something like that, and we have a couple of tags that we're using in the different cars.
Yeah.
So you have to top it up sometimes.
But they initially said, no, we can't do it, it's not technically possible, and I kind of said, oh, whatever. But I'm getting back in the door with them now, so I'm going to start pushing it with the help of these other businesses that have an interest in it.
Yeah, yeah.
So watch this space.
Yeah,
that's how we've found our meaning, and our purpose, these little things in we think need fixing in the world.
Yeah. And you'll meet people that are obsessed with a certain kind of lizard or a newt or something.
Yeah.
And they're spending their life saving the newts and doing... And whenever I watch people that are engaged in what they're doing and you see the joy that it brings them, it's kind of infectious.
Yeah.
And it's a really fabulous thing, where it could be baking bread, it could be doing whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I love watching, I think we're really lucky to have the BBC in the UK for all their... Mm. Flaws, and a lot of people will say they're biased news one way or the other, But I love when you'll switch on like BBC Four at 11 o'clock at night on a Thursday evening, and you'll see this mad little documentary about, I remember watching one recently about Japanese architecture or something like that. Mm-hmm. And there's probably only 10 or 15,000 people in the country watching it. Mm. But they'll be really engaged and they'll really love that idea. And I like the idea that we're all paying into this system like the BBC for the benefit of a whole community.
Yeah.
Of like a small number of people that are obsessed with that little grey-backed newt, crested newt, or whatever.
I was like, wow.
Yeah, yeah. Because you're just learning little things, aren't you, here and there? And we're all getting that little bit better all the time.
There was a guy on the TV on Sunday brunch, and he collects £2 coins because there's a limited amount of £10 coins that £2 coins that are. It got a different kind of picture on.
Right.
And there's only like 200 of them or something. And like he's got eight.
Love it. So meaning can be different things for different people, eh? Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's too hard to find your meaning, because it doesn't have to be like lizards or cycling or...
But also it doesn't have to be changing the world. It doesn't have to be something dramatic.
Yeah, exactly. We see these people like Elon Musk, don't we, who I look as this kind of like deity for progress, because he's got rocket companies and electric car firms and he's digging tunnels to build hyperloops and all this stuff. Mm. But you don't have to be doing stuff on that kind of scale to find meaning, do you?
No, and the meaning in life could be like there's the two girls that run the meals for the homeless service around here, you know, where anybody can help by cooking meals that they go out and deliver to the homeless.
Yeah.
You know, and you see them, and they're kind of inspiring and inspired by what they do. Mm. You know, their life has a meaning.
Exactly. Yeah. They'll wake up happy and go to sleep happy, you would have thought. They'll have little trials and tribulations along the way.
Yeah.
But we talked, was it a couple of weeks ago? I don't know if we talked about something similar, but how you need those highs and lows to kind of...
Yeah.
So you realise when you're on the right path.
Yeah, yeah. And if there are no lows and there are no highs, there has to be that balance between the two, which is good. Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else we want to talk about here?
No, I'm good.
We could talk for hours and hours about it, couldn't we? But
I think that as long as we accept that there isn't a meaning to life, that the meaning is unique, it's individual to you. Yeah, and you can't necessarily look at other people to find your meaning. You can look at other people to find their meaning, and you can think, yeah, okay, I can go with that or not.
Yeah, yeah. And you don't have to link it financially. That's an important
thing. Yeah, it doesn't have to be financial, it doesn't have to be religious, it doesn't have to be anything. It's like, what is it for you? What makes you feel good? If you're into amateur dramatics, that floats your boat and makes you feel amazing, do it.
Yeah.
And maybe the only principle is, if it feels good, do it more. If it feels bad, don't do it.
There's a quote I need to do a poster of for our house, actually. Obama. Barack Obama. Be honest, be useful, be kind.
Yeah.
Simple. I like that one.
Yeah,
I was trying to find other quotes. There was a longer one by the 14th Dalai Lama, which I've forgotten the exact paraphrasing. But the link is in the show notes, basically saying, you know, similar kind of thing, be honest, be useful, be kind. But if you're helping other people and you're happy at the same time, you're on the right track.
And if the things that give your life meaning don't harm other people and hopefully enhance other people, you're doing something pretty good.
Yeah.
You know? That's pretty amazing. Yeah.
Have you got a resource to...
You know, my resource is the Bhagavad Gita, which is a chapter out of a bigger book, the Mahabharata.
You've mentioned this a couple of times.
Yeah, it's a good book because it's not a dogmatic thing. It just tells a story about a guy facing life and the decisions that he has to make. And the ideas about karma and dharma, as in the result of your actions, and dharma being to act appropriately, you know. And it's realising that kind of consequential. But there are lots of people that go off wanting to do their thing and end up making themselves and other people quite unhappy because they didn't question or observe what they were doing before they did.
Yeah, helping getting other people to find that level of awareness is a tricky one as well, isn't it? But start with yourself and then... gently try and encourage other people to wake up as well.
Sounds good to me.
I've got a little video, School of Life. The Meaning of Life. It's a little 4.5 minute video on YouTube, which I think
Monsieur de Botton
hits some key points there. Well worth having a look. All right, happy?
Yeah, I'm happy.
Let's go and be meaningful, eh?
Yeah, I have to go and pick up my guitar from down in the guitar workshop downstairs.
Those guys are doing some good work. Adding meaning to the world, eh? Music.
I have a double Necker, 12-string and 6-string, which needed some work doing on it to make it more playable. So they've been... It's been in the doctor's, been sorted out.
Lovely. All right, cool. We're back same time next week.
Yep.
Livingthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes, links, and sign up to our email list if you fancy it and all. Lots of goodies and treats will be sent your way. Right, Sean, have a good week.
And you.
See you, everyone.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.